Some things you wouldn't mind being stuck with, like a huge inheritance. But a phone that has to be plugged in just right so it charges is not one of those things. Switch to Verizon and we'll pay off your old phone up to $800 via prepaid MasterCard for a new one on us. Just trade in any phone from our top brands with select unlimited plans. $829.99 purchase with new smartphone line on select unlimited plans. Minimum $90 per month with auto pay plus taxes and fees for 36 months required. Plus $830 trade-in slash promo credit applied over 36 months. Trade-in terms apply. Payoff phone requires smartphone purchase and port-in with new smartphone line on select plan. Must provide most recent bill showing payoff amount of eligible phone. Additional terms apply.
At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hello, everybody. I'm the big guy, Scott Ferrara. That's Rob the Hammer Hammerschmidt. We're here with episode 197 of the Rugby Rant. One more week closer to the MLR regular season, internationals, sevens, you know, everything that's going on in rugby in North America. And today.
And one step closer to episode 200.
That's correct. We're going to try and have a surprise, hopefully, on episode 200. We'll see if that happens. But with us today, we got our buddy
Budgie Smugglers.
Yeah, exactly. Doing a little dance like Silence of the Lambs there. but today we have our buddy Matt Cartwright today representing the Rugby 100 Club and also of the Seawall Podcast. Matt, how you doing, buddy?
Good, man. Thanks for having me.
Of course, we love having you on. And for his first appearance, although you guys have probably been reading his material on the rugbyrant.com, Pierce Loben. Pierce, welcome to the show, buddy.
Thanks for having me.
Of course, man. It's always good to have new people on the show. Me and Rob love having new faces on the show, new ideas. And then, of course, it's me, Rob, and Matt. Matt's been on the show a million times. He's rivaling Mikey P and David Fee and a whole bunch of other guests. But it's great to have new blood, you know. It's one of those things where we really do enjoy having a full set here. Right, Rob?
Yeah. I think it's been a while since we've had a full house on screen, but it's always a pleasure because it creates a lot more interaction and a lot more fun and hopefully a little bit of excitement and fireworks today with the topic.
Well, I'm hoping. I mean, because really, you know, we're going to be talking about the start of the season, the MLR. Everybody has really interesting around the pitch topics, so I'm very, very excited about that. And I'm going to be coming out with more episodes of Let's Get Hot soon, so be on the lookout for those. But
Coach's Corner, don't forget about Coach's Corner.
Yeah, we just had Miami coach.
Yep, Pelicina just released this week, and I just recorded Stephen Hoyles last night. Got him on the show. So we're trucking along. We just got to get Houston down and coach Human.
Yeah. And we've banged them all out at this point. And hopefully we're going to try and make this a yearly series where we interview all the coaches preseason. So far it's been a smashing success and Rob is really leading the charge in those interviews. Gotta love it. But right now we're going to move to Around the Pitch. Hammer.
Hey, what's going on? Yeah, it is Roberto Two Teams, as I've been described by many. And so I'm going to talk essentially about two teams in one.
Only one person has ever called you that.
I know, but I kind of like it. I've kind of embraced it. That's the best way to approach, knuckleheads like Bozo. So at any rate, number one, it's kind of interesting. Preseason is on, in full swing. Teams are in camp and they've already started to set up games. And I know this is an interesting one. The Hounds on the 24th, it's a Friday, are actually welcoming in Lindenwood University I don't know if it'll be a full-on preseason. It's probably a little bit more of a controlled scrimmage, but it should be pretty interesting just to see the boys get a run out. But the big announcement down there in the Big Easy is Gulf Coast Sports Entertainment Network is proud to announce, in conjunction with Enola Gold, that they will take on the broadcasting rights for the area. The great news about this is it's free. Not that the Rugby Network isn't free, but it's allowing folks who don't know about the Rugby Network an opportunity. And there you see the map. That's the viewing area we're talking about. I mean, it covers a little bit of six states, but there's Louisiana, of course, Mississippi and Alabama are the big ones, but then parts of Texas and Florida and Arkansas are included in that, right? And you're talking about 4 million homes. Alex Marmont, CEO of the Enola Gold, just made the announcement this week. It's pretty cool. 14 TV markets, some select Cox markets down there, Fubo and Mediacom are all going to have access. So it's great news for that Gulf region that they're going to be able to see the Enola Gold 16 games during the 2025 season.
That's awesome. You got to love it. You know, spreading it locally via television is everything, you know, we've always talked about. Matt, what's your around the pitch?
Hey, my around the pitch is Rugby 100 Club did an event this weekend with the Seawolves and coaching staff, players and office staff. And it's kind of like us fans hosted them so they could just relax, not have to put on a show, and, you know, brought the social to rugby kind of effort, and gave away some jerseys, and we had the boys sign that canvas, and then they signed that jersey on the fly, actually. It wasn't originally signed. And, you know, all the boys were just happy to do it. And that young man was glowing. He was having so much fun. And then the fun fact, the canvas guy, we did a raffle, right? So, like, we gave the canvas to a guy that used to be the president. His name's Eric Larson, the president of Rick's group down there in Dallas.
Oh, right? Yeah, Eric. Yeah, no, we love Eric.
Rick Larson, yeah.
So he moved to Denver, and then his wife got promoted back to Seattle. So he is now a Seawolf fan. I don't know if it's a good thing or a bad thing, because both the teams he liked have both been eliminated. So I don't know if it's good or bad, but, you know, we're going with the good. We're thinking positive over here.
Listen, he's a free agent. He's up. Yeah. He's up for grabs, you know?
Right. So, no, we had a great time. We it was a great platform to launch Rugby 100 Club. You know, we're eventually going to do some podcasts, you know, not as great as you guys. I really got some game, but, you know, respect. But we're also doing travel, and we'll be launching that within the next week. We're going to do Chicago down to New Orleans. We're going to do Seattle to New Orleans. We're going to do New Orleans to Houston. And we're going to do Seattle to D.C. So I'm working with Duma and some other characters around the league to make that happen. Of course, you know, Dan Falcon and Sheila Falcon are helping out. It's exciting, man. It's like this year is going to be better than any other year that's happened yet. So I'm pretty excited about it, man.
That's awesome. We can't wait for it. Pierce, your first round of ATP.
Oh, boy. Well, I'm going to talk about something that readers of my blog will be familiar with. If you have not read it, shame on you. as Pettons, you should go read all of them twice, because I want the views. I'm going to bring it back to some local rugby, which is just a little hour south of me, Reading RFC. They're doing great work there. They're starting from the youth up. Right now, they are having their inaugural youth flag tournament going on, ages 6 through 13, boys and girls. Everyone's able to go. I'm pretty sure you can still join if you're in the area. High school boys is currently going. They're going to have a home game pretty soon here. And it is preseason for high school girls. Their season starts in March. And they're trying to get their men's side going. They're planning on hosting a sevens tournament once they get approval and recognition from NorCal Rugby and USA Rugby. So once that's good to go, I'll give you more details on that. And if you're in the area and you want to throw the ball around, every Saturday night they have touch rugby. Everyone's invited, men, women, boys, girls, whoever. Come throw the ball around, touch some ruggers. Great time.
Nice. Awesome. Yeah. And just keep us updated so we can update the fans here.
Will do.
All right. So my around the pitch, it's funny because I was going to do a topic. I might quickly do two. Rugby names Patrick Stack as their first team president in franchise history. He was named team president today, Tuesday the 14th. 15 years of diverse professional experience in sports agencies, sports teams, academia, and the nonprofit sector. A little bit about Patrick. He was an adjunct professor at Johnson & Wales in sports and events and entertainment in the College of Hospitality. Johnson & Wales is one of the number one hospitality schools in the nation. He was also the senior account director at B-Corp Experiential Marketing Agency, which was a marketing agency trying to market sports teams and sports players. He was also, believe it or not, a co-founder of Sports Biz Camps. And what that did was it brought a sports business camps to high school students for like a business 101 type deal. Very interesting. And something that else that came across my desk that I found interesting is Nia Tapper, you know, obviously hung up the boots recently after the bronze medal. Winning the bronze medal, and she came out and said that OMBAC is looking to do a new all-girls high school age rugby team, offering female players a dedicated pathway to continue to play beyond the co-ed U14 level, right? So out there in California, they have a co-ed level up to U14, and then really it was split off for the men. They're looking to grow on the girls, women's side, past the U14 level to provide a pathway for those women. You know, and obviously the future of women's rugby starts with investments like this. So if you want to support them, you can go to OMBAC Wallabies Youth Rugby and take a look and show your support by offering financial assistance through sponsorships. We can help these young women break barriers, build confidence, and foster leadership skills both on and off the field. So check out Nia Tapper's social media for the link for that. Guys, great. This was one of those things where we could talk about a lot of things, but a lot of it was close to our hearts and what, you know, what we're really doing. People are doing individually to try and help grow the game. And it's, you know, it's always fun when we can give, like, talk about topics that are, you know, super, somebody said this, World Rugby did that, you know, yada, yada, yada. But these a little more on the tidbits that we want to show what's going on in North America, and you got to love it. And again, so we're going to be talking about the top three teams in each conference. We're doing West Conference. We're doing East Coast Conference. That'll be the topic for today. We do this periodically. This is our way too early season rankings. Got to love it. Some point after week four, we'll do our way too early playoff predictions. Always gotta love that one too. That one's always a good one. It's fun because we're never right.
No.
So often it works out. But before
once in a while a squirrel finds a nut.
Yeah, every so often.
Clock's right twice a day.
Yeah, before
you still can't find two, but you know, I'll figure it out.
Before we get into the topic and the inevitable fight that'll ensue, let's hear a word from our sponsors. And welcome back. We are going to go over the topic again of the top three teams we feel are in each conference currently with our 11 teams heading into the MLR season. To give some viewers some background, if you don't know how it shook out last season before the playoffs, top three in the Western Conference were the Houston Sabercats, 14 wins, 2 losses, Seattle Seawolves, 11 wins, 5 losses, and San Diego Legion, 11 wins, 5 losses. On the East Coast, the Eastern Conference, you had the New England Free Jacks, 11-5, NOLA Gold, 10-6, and Chicago Hounds, 8-7. Now, the top four teams in each conference is going to make the playoffs. So, really, you include the Dallas Jackals in the West Coast last year, fortunately no longer in the league, and Old Glory last year also made the playoffs, a 7-7 record for Old Glory, and Dallas Jackals had a 6-10 record. So, again, what we're going to do is we're going to go bit by bit here. We're going to start off with Pierce, and then we're going to kind of debate who's right, who's wrong, and why the big guy's always right and you guys are always wrong. Pierce, go for it.
Well, no, so Seattle just dropped a line out right before we record this, and they kind of fucked with my in-depth analysis, so I'm going to just go off of the fact that they don't have a team like I was going to before, so they're not in my top three. So we're going to start with San Diego. They brought back their star scrum half from 2 years ago, Richard Judd. He was a real attacking threat. Really put their some pace into their attack and really organized it well. And he also was not afraid to make some hits, which sometimes scrum halves have a tendency to kind of go, yay, that's your guy. You go ahead and get him. They brought in Jed Holloway, Wallaby, and Waratahs guy. Yeah, Brad Wilkin from the Rebels. Yeah, it's brought a ton of international guys, including a transfer from Seattle to Vita Lopetti, who, to be honest, wasn't getting the playing time he needed or deserved. So he's probably going to get quite a bit from San Diego and hopefully make a big impact for them. But they did lose a bunch of guys. I mean, you got your All Blacks and all these legends that retired again. So that's going to change a lot of the locker room dynamic.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and that, you know, that could be for the better because, I mean, how many years was Manu there and they weren't able to get it done with him?
I mean, you know, somebody who calls Robbie two teams also calls the San Diego Legion always the bridesmaid, never the bride. So, you might have a point at that point, you know, with San Diego right now, Pierce.
Yeah. And, you know, it's as a proud NorCal person, I love to always talk smack about Southern California teams. And so seeing them lose is not really quite enjoyable for me.
Gotcha.
But going on to their neighbors, about 3 hours north of them, LA is looking really strong. I mean, they stole Reese McDonald from New England Free Jacks. I don't know how they managed that. But unfortunately, with his injury, he's probably not going to be available until, I think, I saw May.
Yeah, that's about right.
Yeah. But, I mean, that's all right. They got enough weapons in the back three with Christian Dyer, which they took from Houston, Vogan Isaacs from the Dallas dispersal draft, and they're bringing back their Canadian.
Andrew Coe.
Andrew Coe, yes. Thank you. I mean, and just to go over, like, some of the stats for, like, Vogan Isaacs, for example. I mean, he only played in 8 matches. I believe he got injured. But in those 8 matches, he scored 3 tries, 4 try assists, 42 tackles, and ran the ball for 671 meters gained. That's not too shabby. Seeing, and also, some of those were at fly half. Some of those matches were played at fly half, not just fullback. You know, so, I mean, and to prove my point, he also kicked 4 conversions and 3 penalties. Like, that's not a bad get.
Yeah, he's putting in work at 2 different positions.
Yeah. You know, and of course, they're bringing back Semi Kunitondri, who was a monster for them. Just, well, in 15 matches, he ran the ball for 1,124 meters gained, scored 3 try assists, 162 tackles, 11 steals. Unfortunately, he also got 4 yellow cards. I thought he got more than that. Seemed like he was collecting. It seemed like he was collecting cards like he was a Pokemon trainer. You know? So, but 4 is not terrible out of 15 games. Oh, and he started 11. I thought he started less than that. They brought in also Lucas Barr from the Dallas Dispersal Draft. Kind of he's more of like a depth lock for them. He didn't get a ton of playing time for Dallas, I believe. Out of the guys they brought in who were not from other MLR teams, it pretty impressive list of people. The big one is the Australian legend who has just come back to Super Rugby and International Rugby for Samoa, Christian Lilafano. Thank you.
Or Wallaby.
Yes, yeah. That's the size of it, yeah. Well, yeah, Wallaby, and I also plays for Samoa now after he came back from recovering from leukemia, which is a hell of a story in itself. He was playing for Moana Pacifica, and he's going to be there. If he's not their number 110, I don't know who is. He's going to be a hell of a difference maker for him. Then you got Ed Thompson, young English back rower from Bristol, and he also played in the Shoot Shield down in Australia, which is probably how he got connected to this team.
Yep.
Ben Houston, another back rower who was also from the Shoot Shield. Imagine that. Someone I'm very interested in is Mika Wynyard.
Mm-hmm.
Reason I'm interested in him is, well, one, he's from La Rochelle Academy. Well, he's coming from there, but he's actually a California native from San Jose. And I grew up just south of there in Morgan Hill. So that's really cool to see someone
awesome.
From the South Bay making it up. Oh, another one of their big signings is Gonzalo Bertrano, Argentine scrum half.
Yeah.
That's one hell of a halfback pairing right there.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, boy. I mean, hard to contain those guys.
Absolutely. So right now, so your top 3 in the Western are, what do we say?
I didn't get the third one.
But you start San Diego, LA, and then what was your third one?
I didn't get there yet. I was going to go Houston.
Houston. Okay. Yeah. I mean, I could see Houston, you know, from a continuity standpoint, definitely being in the top three. LA, that's a big jump for them. I mean, they did have, you know, a big recruiting effort. They do have a really good core coming back. The question is, you know, will the new management, you know, for me, it's new management, it's new field, you know, new home turf they're playing on. You know, what does that do for a team? We've seen teams in transition before not do well the next season, you know, and as we talk about Legion, like I said, always the bridesmaid, never the bride. Do they have enough to push over the hump, you know? So what about East Coast, Pierce?
East Coast. All right. So I was really – so I'm kind of like Rob from last week where – it would bring me a lot of joy to see New England not make the playoffs.
My man. Although I got to tell you, they just released that sweet 400 jersey.
Yeah, that's a cool kit.
It's going to be a limited edition. It looks awesome. But yes. That being said, wah, wah, wah.
Yeah. To be fair, that organization is doing it right. Like I can't say anything bad about how that organization is working. It's just their fan groups are annoying.
one in particular, that's all. A lot of good fans there. There's just a couple creep. That's all.
Yeah, but even though I say they're annoying, I still watch their show all the time. So what does that say about me? Although them losing Reese McDonald and Mitch Wilson, who may or may not have been like the best player on the field. I mean, he's good, but he was no Reese McDonald or Wayne Vanderbank for them, right? But from what I understand, he was a real like a leader in the clubhouse, right? He set the tone. And so missing someone like that and missing one of your best assets in Reese McDonald, I mean, that's going to change some things for them. But I think they're still going to be a top three in the East, unfortunately. Then Chicago. Chicago's looking good. You know, I think they finally solved their fly half issue, even though I think Luke Cardi got the rub there. I think he should have gotten more playing time. But yeah, like I said, they solved their fly-up issue with Tim Swill from the Premiership. I'm going out of order on my notes. Oh, fuck it. Mitch Short, Waratah's scrum half. They picked up Noah Flesch, who's the younger brother of their other Jason Flesch. Yeah. That's going to be cool. It's always a cool story to see have brothers in the pitch together.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Whether or not that actually leads to winning, that's regardless. and then they picked up a lot of Canadian talent. I noticed that Seattle doesn't have that many Canadian talent. So maybe they're switching there.
We're too close to the border.
You're too close. Well, the first 2 years you couldn't keep them out, and now you build a wall.
You know, right? Yeah, Pacific Pride is actually our pregame too. It's all else, you know, with Phil Mackey, nice coach, and all that.
Yeah, sweet. That makes sense. That makes sense. Yeah. Da-da-da-da-da. Yeah. So I think they're going to continue their winning ways and being a top three again. And then, of course, how could you not put NOLA in the top three? I mean, they are just picking up.
I mean, very simply, you just don't put them there. But I'll talk about that later.
Scott can't help himself.
Yeah, but I mean, look, they picked up Paul Mullen after Utah blew up their team. They got Joe Taufete. They got Ruben De Haas. They Tupou Afunga from San Diego. Oh, Rob, do you, so they announced that they signed Caleb McEnany, but when they put out their team sheet, he was not there.
Yeah, so a little bit of detail on that. Here's what I'm hearing is that Caleb, whose wife is pregnant and just gave birth, and okay. So they've chosen to stay back in New Zealand. Mm-hmm. You know, during their early years of their child's life, and so yeah, I don't think he'll be joining the team unless maybe, you know, he joins late or something like that. But that's what the nose to the ground says, the ear to the ground says.
Got it. Wow. He's going to be a good tackling weapon for them. That's all right.
We all know there's injuries all season long.
Yeah. That's true. I still think they're going to be up there. What's that?
How many teams have you picked?
Let's do it. This is three. Oh, okay. It was NOLA, Chicago, and New England.
Oh, okay. Got it. Thank you.
All right, Maddie, you're up next. What are your top three in the Western and Eastern?
I really wasn't trying to cut them off or anything. Hold it. I was just like, are we picking three on each side? Oh, crap. I didn't prepare for this.
Yeah, top three in each conference, bro.
Well, I'm in, dude. I can do it.
I thought it was pretty self-explanatory, you know, but hey, maybe I'm off. I mean, 53 years of age.
Maybe Matt's drinking. You know, works so
well
anymore.
Well, I'm using that cocktail you gave me the ingredients for, bro. No. Okay, so it's my turn. Okay, so I'm going to start with the East Coast and kind of throw it off a little bit. So East Coast, man, I'm going to go with Chicago here. I really think they have plenty of talent. Chris Latham stepping in and being the coach, you know, I'm biased because I got to hang out with him a little bit last year, to say the least. And the guy is, you know, he's ready. He's ready to do this thing. And you got to watch Clarkey in all year long. And that was an interesting combo, to be honest. I'll leave it alone at that. So second in the East Coast, NOLA. Man, NOLA, like Pierce said, man, they flipped the script and they started getting a couple other characters on there, like Joe T. Matter of fact, interacted with Joe T, and he is excited to be at NOLA. And then
it wouldn't be. It's a great town.
Honestly, man, I can't say enough good, bro. Like, I'm going to be there like four times this season. I can't wait. I'm excited for it. So, yeah, NOLA. And then third, I'm going to pick Anthem. I think Brandon Sparks has got some tricks up his sleeve. You know, they got some players, and I'm excited to see what they bring and how they bring it. I'm thinking the benefit of the doubt. I think they're just going to do a 180 from last year, but you know,
you actually know who's on their team.
I don't study it as hard as you guys, but I do know a couple characters that are on there. Carson,
you haven't announced anyone.
Club match and had a little combo about it. And then on the West Coast, third, I'm going to pick San Diego. They're contenders all day, every day. I just definitely don't want them to be first. Can't help but be a Lepetti fan. I mean, the guy is awesome. So I think he will get some more playing time. And I hope he benefits from it all day long. And I hope San Diego does too for their, you know, doing it. I mean, he's got to be enjoying the weather. It's better than here in Seattle, I'll tell you. And then third, I'm going with Houston. I mean, you can't say after last season, you can't count them out. Those guys were rolling, and then they weren't. Nice job, Dallas. But that's my three on each side. I'm a short-winded guy today.
I mean, are you feeling okay? That was really quick for me.
No, I mean, like, I could elaborate all day long, but the reality is, like, it's all smoke and mirrors at this point until we get them on the pitch. And
yeah, no, it's
– and they've legalized marijuana out there, right?
Yeah.
I mean, and we know it takes 4 to 6 weeks for these teams to really hit their stride before we can actually like talk about it, you know? So, I mean, I'm not, it makes, you know, Matt's sentiment to it's all smoke and mirrors, I think is correct at this point. So speaking of blowing smoke up people's asses, Rob, what's your top three?
Well, I want to preface my top three by saying this. There's 2 points here. I think everybody needs to remember that of the 11 teams that are in the league, 5 of the 11 have turned over new coaches. I think this is going to have a significant impact upon at least the early season. You don't have a lot of preseason. I talked a little bit on the call with Coach Hoyles last night, and it just makes it rather difficult for coaches to put their stamp on teams and for that synergy, as Scott calls it, to develop early on. That being said, not all those coaches are not experienced or well-heeled in the league. So it's kind of a wrinkle that I'm interested to see develop. I think the other thing we need to keep in mind is scheduling. We know that right there in week 11, 12, 13, 14, some of those teams have some rather challenging schedules, and quite a few of them are in the West, which is where I'll start here in a moment. And one of the toughest is the Utah Warriors. I think within the span of just like 19 days, they have something to do the tune of 4 matches, and it really compresses things. And I think that's something that we can't undersell. It's going to ask them to reach into the depth. And we're also going to have to keep an eye on who they play on the back of some of those. Other teams got kind of lucky, and I think one of those teams is Houston. So I really struggled here. So my top three in the Western Conference, I'm going with RFC LA, and this is no particular order. I just think these are my top three. And the reason why is that Stephen Hoyles has been in the league. He's familiar with LA. There's a number of guys that are in that group, namely Billy Meeks, that have been with that squad a while. I think that he'll really be able to put a stamp early on the team. And I think we also got to consider some of the boys that he's brought in to this roster that are very different from last year. And several of them have played together from Randwick. And two of those biggest names are individuals that played together in Randwick together. And sorry, I'm just got to find my notes here. That would be, you know, you've got, Christian Leofano, just an amazing talent, but you got Chu, you got Jensen, you got Meeks, Mapa, McDonald, which will come in later. But several of those, Jensen and Chan, have played together. They actually won a shoot shield together with Randwick. You add in the speed, just a 6'3", 6'4", guy like Mapa playing on the wing, and I think it's going to be devastating. I expect this back line to really perform and score some tries this year and chew up some meters. And it takes some of the pressure off a guy like Billy Meeks. And I think they've added some bulk to that scrum. So I expect this team to be very well balanced, be very exciting, and just really score some tries. And it's a team that I definitely mark on my calendar to watch quite frequently throughout the season. Then I'm going to go number another team in the West. This was tough, but I've got to go with San Diego Legion. I think they don't have as tough a schedule with those compressed weeks as some of the others. So I think they're going to fare a little bit easier. You know, and they have a good core of individuals, but here's what I like. I think their 9-10 tandem looks really good. They have Richard Judd, Lincoln McClutchy at 9. They have Connor Tupai and then Rutherford at 10. So they have some really good, solid depth, a nice 1-2 punch at 9-10 position that's too deep. You couple that with some very experienced individuals, you know, that I think have been around that team that are going to be strong. And I don't think John Menenti will have a problem getting these guys rolling at the front end of the season. And then here's where I ran into some difficulty, because quite honestly, guys, I struggled. The Houston Sabercats, while only losing 2 games last year, they choked. And I really don't know how much that change in the directorship, the director going back to South Africa, you still have Pote Human there, but how much will that change the dynamic? There's been a lot of changeover at the top, and I'm wondering how much of an impact that'll have upon the boys. And quite frankly, I haven't seen those hallmark signings from this team that I have with some of the other teams in the league. And so, sorry, Houston, for me, you're out. And I never, I got to tell you, any Clark-led team, I never count them out. I just think, you know, Clark, he always has his boys prepared. And what I think makes a difference in Seattle, they've had a strong core there for quite some time. You know, guys like J.P. Smith and Reichert Hadding, and they, of course, have Danny Creel. And, you know, you go to Duncan Matthews is still there, if I'm not mistaken. You know, they have a really nice group, you know, of forwards in the pack, you know, like Rhino Herbst. And then, of course, in the back line, you have Foodie and you have Jade Stingling. You have Devin Rousseau in the forward pack. So, you know, they're going to have a tough road to hoe from April 18th. They have a game then. They have a game on the 23rd, then the 27th, and then the 2nd. And that is a tough schedule over the course of, I'll say, 14, 15 days. So that might be their stumbling block, guys. So that's what I got in the West.
14 games in, or four games in, what is it, four games?
Four games in 14 days. Yeah, yeah, it's one of the tougher schedules, that and Utah. And Utah's had such a lot of changeover, and that coupled with probably the toughest schedule, in my opinion, in the league, I think it's going to be very difficult on them to really get that engine revving throughout the season. So
and you're going, here comes the new boss, same as the old boss for Houston, huh?
Yeah, I just I don't know, something. When I look across their roster, I just don't. It doesn't excite me. At least some of the new signings, I should say, that some of the other teams do. As I look across what they try to do to bring in new talent, and we know this league gets better and better every year. Why does it get better and better every year? Because they bring in the boys from, you know, that have Super League experience, that have Mitre 10 experience, that are coming off a Shoot Shield experience, that are coming, you know, trickling in from South Africa. And I don't see that as much in this group as I do with some of the other teams across the league.
So since it's a given that Robbie two times is going to put Chicago and NOLA in his top three. So what's your other, let's round out your top three with your last pick, because we know you're going to pick NOLA and Chicago.
Yeah, well, I think we saw what NOLA did with their roster. They really improved it. And yes, there were some losses. OJ Noah going to Seattle, as well as Rodney Iona going to Seattle. But I think they really recovered well. Of course, they have a nice nine set of nines, a combination there with Luke Campbell, and of course, with Scott's favorite USA number nine. You know, former, or well, he's still with the Cheetahs, Ruben DeHaas. And I think they got a nice set of tens. I think we're going to see Noel up there. Okay. The question, and Danny Lee's an amazing coach. Question is, can he put a stamp on that team? Here's what I would say. He's been in NOLA since he left San Diego. Like, he didn't go back to New Zealand. So he's been there. He's been investing his time. He's been investing commitment. I think there's a lot to be said for that.
He's interacting with the youth and club a lot, too. He's really getting in the community.
Yeah. So, and then I would go Chicago Hounds. I really like what they're doing with the roster. I think they've stepped up where they needed to at the 10 position. You know, you got a strong core. I think you're going to see some of the young guys step up. But they've got Ollie Devato. They've got, Exeter fly half in there too. Former number England number, he played 10, played 10 for England as well. I had two caps. And I can't read my own writing. So sorry about that.
Typical teacher.
Yeah, I know. You know, Ben Pollock coming in from Australia with the Shoot Shield experience, the Pifoletti, with experience in the league, Tim Swile, you know, so they'll losing Billy Hurt, but I think they've got some young guys in the waiting in the wings. Now, what's my third? And again, no particular order. I think you can't discount the New England Free Jacks. The fact remains that Ryan Martin was with the team in prior years. So it's not like he isn't familiar with New England. It's not like he isn't familiar with their core players. Conradi, Fricker, Jacobson, Vanderbank, Patros, Melvin, Poland will be back. I mean, you know, just in that group of players, you have guys that have won league MVPs, finals MVP, You know, back of the year, forward of the year. And with that being said, forward of the year, one of the big guys coming in is Jero Vera, Gomez Vera coming in. I mean, he was a stormer and he's going to be coming into what was already an incredible back row. So I just think they've added a lot of pieces, done a really nice job, and they're going to be tough as usual.
Hey, I apologize. I didn't pick my, my first team on the West Coast, which, you know, probably is absolutely obvious what I'm going to pick, which is
Scott. I wonder.
Jeez, I wonder. Yeah. I mean, Clark, he knows his shit, let's be honest. And, one guy that I'm actually surprised, Rob, you didn't mention, or at least I didn't hear it, was CC Mahone as a lock.
Yeah.
And that guy is a boss. SOB. Mm-hmm. That guy just gets the sun right out of you. I mean, like, he stands there and you can't see the sun. The guy's so tall, man. Yeah. And they got some talent they brought in. Oh, my gosh, man.
Well, again, it speaks to the fact that it's why I think they're going to be a tough team in the West is just because, you know, I mentioned their roster and some of their veterans who've been with them a long time. I mean, Clark, he really doesn't have to put a stamp on that team at all. It's already there. And his players, you know, that core knows what he expects and they know, you know, how to perform, and he knows how to get the best out of them. So, you know, that being said, I think those new guys quickly pick up on that and they're able to adjust and acclimate to that team quite well.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. Rickard's the only OG still on the team playing. Pretty cool. And the captain, of course.
JP Smith wasn't there the first year?
No, so he came in. Huh. Hey, Smith will have his 100th cap this year, actually. Yeah. Pretty exciting.
Nice. So I'm going to go with my top three here. We're going to go start out with the West Coast. While I do think that the locker room situation in Houston is probably the same, I still think they've stifled a lot of teams with their front row and pack play. And I think they'll continue to do that. So I would keep them in my top three. San Diego, I think they're a couple tough matches away from breaking out and getting into that championship and actually winning. It's funny because the San Diego has always had, you know, this air about them, obviously with the Legionnaires and stuff like that, like that they're tough, but they don't show the toughness as much. You know, they kind of sometimes get punched in the mouth and, you know, fail to show up when they need to. So I'm waiting for that to happen. I'm hoping that's happening this season. And then my third one, I think LA is going to make the jump. I think they have enough firepower now with a reloaded roster, plus the core guys they're keeping, like an Andrew Coe, who's a meter eater. I mean, you know, Andrew Coe can play wing. He can play fullback. You know, he has a decent foot from the fullback position. So he's one of those utility guys who can, you know, play on the wing and just do a mad dash because he's a quick, you know, he's also a sevens player. Or he can beat you with a counter kick if you put him back at fullback. So, I mean, he's the type of guy that can play a full 80 minutes because you can then move him, you know, from that wing to fullback. Interestingly enough, on my roster sheet here, there's a lot of teams that are only showing one fullback. I found that interesting. Now, again, you know, there's guys who probably are identifying themselves as a winger that can play fullback. But it's like we talked about, one of the key components is that counter kick, right? So, oddly enough, there's teams that do have a bunch of fullbacks. Like, I think I was looking at Houston has, like, five guys that have been identified as fullback versus San Diego. I'm only seeing one. LA, I'm only seeing one. And, again, I'm sure, you know, you kind of group that back three together sometimes, but it's just interesting that nobody's – and some of these teams are saying that they're quote-unquote a fullback. Looking at the East Coast – I think everything remains the same. I don't think Old Glory, Miami, or Anthem make the jump to get past Chicago, NOLA, or New England. I believe Pierce was asking who, you know, on Anthem, what was going on with that team. I mean, if you're looking at their centers, Eric Storti's there, Watson Filitonga, is coming up with Anthem now after ending his tenure with the Raptors. Let's see who else we have.
Graham Lick,
Dylan Fortune, over on in the flanker, frig.
Mooneyham.
Yep. Yeah. Mooneyham, Jake Turnbull, a prop. Right. Connor McManus at scrum half, you know, Connor McManus and Carl DeNison, actually, right. You know, two really good young scrum halves who both have a decent boot, but both can play with the ball in hand. Both been playing in the MLR now for 4 or 5 years. I mean, from a MLR caps perspective, McManus and DeNison have a lot of starts at scrum half in this league, and to have both those guys where they could be interchangeable, that's a big deal. Sam Gala, Taron Aljibori, Mitch Wilson, Bryce Cam. Oh no, Bryce is on Chicago. You know, so I mean, Anthem has a team that can win some games,
right?
But again, I just don't think any of those teams get over the hump of how good Chicago, NOLA, and New England are going to be. And you guys keep talking about Ruben DeHaas, and I think NOLA is going to kick their away possession and not make the playoffs, to be quite honest. It depends how they roll out. If they can, you know, if they well, can
Danny set the expectations. Scrum half, so I think that it is going to be provide a really good beacon for the scrum halves on that club, including Ruben DeHaas. So
no, absolutely. I think you just have to make sure that you're setting DeHaas up with a game plan that not only suits his need, but suits what the team needs to do. I mean, we talk about it all the time where, you know, sometimes these teams are kicking away possession based upon who they have, you know, what personnel they have in, but they don't need to. You know what I mean? So we just have to make sure, I think, that they square that away, and I think NOLA will be successful this year. So, I mean, we pretty much came to a consensus about every team, guys. I mean, I don't think it's that, you know, hard of a conversation to have to see why these teams would be in the top. You know, again, I think honorable mention, you know, Seattle will be up there. I mean, I don't think they're not going to be up there. I think West Coast is going to be just as tight as the Eastern Conference was last year. So what was that, Matt?
You want to put a bet on?
Like what?
I don't know. You travel to the championship if they go?
Yeah, that's not happening.
I'm always trying to
– I can't travel.
The loser has to appear on the show in a budgie smuggler.
Yeah, that's great. We'll be kicked off of YouTube and Facebook.
with seawolves on it. Yeah, let's go.
That sounds like a Rob.
Make him wear a New England jersey.
That's already been done. I've already done that with Jack's Rangers. That was our standard.
So much more, but I don't want to give anybody credit for shit that I'm thinking of.
That was the jersey swap was a standard with when I was doing the New York show and Jack's Rangers. Man. It was whoever had won the latest match when we would go on each other's show, we'd have to wear it. So,
oh yeah, but Lee Vaughn and Bunny did it after the championship, and Lee Vaughn was pissed. He's like, "I want my jersey back."
No, I wouldn't put it up for a vote right now. Like I said, I think it's going to be tight. I think it's going to come down to bonus points. It's going to come down to attrition. It's going to come down to the same things that always happen at the end of the season. And who's going to get hot in the first four games and kind of break that stigma that the first 4 to 6 games are kind of back and forth and up and down. You know, we really haven't seen a team come out hot since the Giltinis that one year that were – until they got to New York and New York beat them. You know,
not hot. I mean, they won, or were they were overall, they were 14-2.
Yeah. But it's always those first 4 weeks where it's up and down for every team. There's no like through line of, okay, they were touch and go in some of those matches. You know what I mean? They didn't look as strong. They started to grow after week 4 to look that strong.
I got a question for you. Sure. The reason that the Giltinis came out so hot was because they had a legit preseason, right? They all went to Hawaii and had a great preseason when everyone mm-hmm. else was pretty much using the first 4 weeks as preseason. So now this new LA team, they're going to have that match against the Drua. You know, that's a pretty high standard of rugby right there. Do you think that's going to set them up to come out better?
I don't think the one match is going to be the difference.
Yeah, but it's certainly not going to hurt. I think the difference is that roster. You know, as I look across that roster and some of the pairings and combinations, particularly at center, you know, when you have the quality fly out that they have in Christian Leilafano, and some of the other pieces they added in the scrum, you know, to what was, you know, a pretty solid core with Jason Dam, and Kuratani at 8. I just think the quality of that roster will stand out, and we'll see the difference from week one moving forward.
I'm excited to see Christian Dyer and Reese. And, you know, I know that this may be a name that not everybody wants to talk about, but their tax coach, Coach Harris.
Yeah. Well, I think he's doing what he does best in that position. I think he's a hell of a coach. I think he's a hell of a man. But I think he's really, he loves to focus on attack. He loves to focus on, on the back line defense. Here's the interesting thing in talking with Coach Hoyles, he's actually taking a different approach to delegating the responsibilities. Like in my interview with him, and I may have it a little bit off just in terms of like one, he has Dave Dennis is there too. And so they've all, you know, they're all really familiar with one another, and each coach is responsible for a phase of the attack. So it's not just an attack coach, a defense coach, right? An overall coach is responsible. I forgot who he said it might be. Dave is responsible for that, you know, first phase in the attack, and then phases 2 through 3 are Harris, and then he's responsible for phases after that. I think that's how he described it. You'll have to check out Coach's Corner when Stephen Hoyles is on to get all the deets. But it was an interesting approach to how they're going to structure their attack and who is going to be orchestrating that from the coach's side of things. And, you know, one of the things that's interesting is more or less he's going to allow those guys to play what's in front of them. You know, it's not going to be like a super structured playbook, you know, and I think that those group of cats have the experience to be able to do that. And that's why I believe they're going to score a lot of points this year.
So before I kind of give everybody final thoughts, you know.
That was my final thought. Okay. Got it.
Yeah. before we give everybody real quick their final thoughts, I just wanted to let you guys know that Macron is actually sending the kits to the team now. A bunch of team stores, the DC store is up, the Old Glory store is up. So go check out your team, see where their merch stores are coming through with kits and get those pre-sales in. So we're going to go around the horn real quick.
Can I just say, Scott, before we leave that, I have a firsthand, you know, all teams are handling that Macron kit differently. So in other words, you may see Old Glory has a lot of stuff available. I would suggest if you want something like that, order it. But not all teams are going to have that kind of style of store. It's going to be different from team to team. So some of the teams you will not be able to, unless you are a player or involved with the team, you may not be able to get Macron kit other than a jersey. So just be aware of that.
Yep. So real quick, we're going to put everybody back up here. Pierce, what's your final thoughts?
Sorry, you have to coach me. The final thoughts can be anything, right?
Yeah, anything you want.
Okay. So I'm going to plug Fantasy Major League Rugby, because I want more people to play against, and I think it really will help grow Major League Rugby. You can go to their website, thefantasyruckers.com. You can sign up. There's free leagues, there's paid leagues. And tell all your friends. I know, I think I got my wife to do it. She doesn't watch rugby at all. She just is super competitive and loves to beat me, which is terrible because she does.
You told her you were going to withhold sex, didn't you?
I wish that was the case.
All right, Matt. Final thoughts, Matty.
Get out there and support grassroots. I highly support that because, like, you know, where's tomorrow's athletes coming from? As well as I want to plug that there is a high school girls tournament going on in Honolulu area in a couple months, and it's a tens tournament, and Japan and New Zealand and a couple American teams supposedly are going to be there. Pretty excited about it. My wife and I are going to go over and check it out. excited to support grassroots.
Awesome. Rob, final thoughts.
Oh boy, final thoughts. I'm excited for the season. That's all I'm going to say. And I just wish people would take joy in the MLR and what it's brought to domestic rugby. Support it, get on board. If you're not, you're missing out. If you're not, you're a hater. And therefore I hate you.
How do you really feel, Rob?
All right. My final thoughts. I think an LA signing that's going under the radar is LA signing Wilton Rebolo. He had 2 years under the Ironworkers, one of those winning an MLR championship. 2 years with Western Force and signed a 3-year deal to come to LA after playing in Western Force. You know, this is a guy who could play both prop positions and hooker. Brazilian international. I believe he's the only Brazilian in the league.
Man after your own heart, you can do that too.
Yeah, well, that's what I'm saying. You know, it's that was a key in New York's development of him, was to make sure he could play all the positions, because as we know, rugby's a game of attrition. So I think that's just a signing that I wanted to shout out as my final thought. Guys, thank you so much for coming on the show, Matt. Many times, Pierce, your first time. We really appreciate it, guys. And fans, please go check out Pierce over on therugbyrant.com. You can check out all his articles there. And check out Matt Cartwright on the Seawall podcast. And also, again, with Rugby 100 Club, who's going to be making a lot of rugby trips this year. If you have an organization that's looking to make a rugby trip to the MLR, to an MLR match, contact Matt. He can help you out. He has a lot of resources. Thank you. Guys, really, again, appreciate you coming on. I'm the big guy, Scott Ferrara. That's Rob the Hammer Hammerschmidt for Matt and Pierce. We'll see you guys at the next.
At Ritual, we know what goes into the holiday season. The potluck planning, the gift giving, the spreadsheets. So this new year, take a moment for yourself with science-backed support that puts you first. So whether you're focusing on supporting foundational health with a clean vegan multivitamin or supporting your gut health with Symbiotic Plus, do it with 30% off your first month at ritual.com/podcast. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
Some things you wouldn't mind being stuck with, like a huge inheritance. But a phone that has to be plugged in just right so it charges is not one of those things. Switch to Verizon and we'll pay off your old phone up to $800 via prepaid MasterCard for a new one on us. Just trade in any phone from our top brands with select unlimited plans. $829.99 purchase with new smartphone line on select unlimited plans. Minimum $90 per month with auto pay plus taxes and fees for 36 months required. Less $830 trade-in slash promo credit applied over 36 months. Trade-in terms apply. Payoff phone requires smartphone purchase and port-in with new smartphone line on select plan. Must provide most recent bill showing payoff amount of eligible phone. Additional terms apply.